see on Bahamas, but I really encourage you to stay tuned and watch this page, how we continue our joint roadmap.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Fred. And thanks, everyone, for coming along this morning, and welcome to our session this afternoon. As Frederick said, my name is Charles Clark, and I'm the lead engineer for Veeam Software based in Sydney. And just so there's no confusion, I am actually Scottish, even though today I have dressed like a leprechaun. What our marketing people make us do, eh? So the purpose, as Fred said, the focus for our session today is really looking at, I guess, kind of unity of monitoring is really the main sort of focus, and how we can take sort of multiple hypervisors, really Hyper-V and VMware will be where my focus lies, and bring the monitoring of that into System Center Operations Manager. I'm also incredibly pleased to be able to introduce Michael Pell. Michael is a server engineer with Itso Utilities, and a little bit later on, once I've done my wee bit, he's going to come up and sort of tell us how he's implemented Ops Manager and how he's monitoring, using it to sort of get that centralized monitoring for his VMware estate as well. So really excited to hear what he has to say there. So let's just do a very quick sort of run through of what we're going to cover today. So first of all, I'm just going to sort of do a very quick who are Veeam. For those of you who aren't aware of us already, I'm just going to touch on why unity of monitoring is important, and you know why did Veeam have this sort of management pack type capability for VMware? You know, where did it come from? What's the sort of design ethos behind that? And then we're actually going to get the cards on the table and show you it. So I'm actually going to run through some live demos that I've got set up of some of the capabilities that we're able to deliver purely from within System Center Operations Manager to help with VMware monitoring. Then, as I said, I'm going to introduce Michael, and he's going to explain how Itso Utilities are using that capability. And then lastly, I'm just going to touch very briefly on some of the roadmap stuff that Fred mentioned around how we're sort of helping to support Hyper-V from a sort of DR perspective. But I'm just going to touch on that briefly. Okay, so first of all, who are Veeam? So Veeam are an independent software vendor, and really we're dedicated to providing solutions that help you protect, monitor, and report on virtualized environments. There we go. I read that straight out of our marketing manual. Fantastic. We're a Microsoft Gold partner with a specialization in System Center, and actually we're just about at the point to have a specialization in virtualization as well, and you'll sort of see why that's important moving forward, in a moment or two. We're easy to spot around the conference because they do make us wear, sorry, we love to wear these fabulous green shirts, but when Fred sent me through the PowerPoint template for my presentation this morning, I was kind of looking at the green shirt and purple and green shirt and purple and green shirt and purple, and then it was time for the sick bag. So we might be sort of coming round to them a little bit later on. So just kind of introduce you, we're all sort of into our green here at Veeam. You'll have probably been down and seen the green stand, kind of is very green as you go down there, and seen some of our kind of usual suspects that, we have on the stand. This guy here is actually our head of product development. Okay, so let's move on to the sort of main thrust of our presentation today, which is about simplifying and standardizing VMware monitoring using System Center Operations Manager as a framework. So, I mean, I guess the sort of real reason as to where this comes from and you know, why is it important to have that centralization is something that is really important to me as a Scotsman, and that's about saving money. Because multiple monitoring tools can be expensive, and they are expensive. And it's not just the cost of additional licensing for those monitoring tools. It's really all the ancillary stuff that adds up. So, duplication of training costs, consultancy costs, implementation costs. You've got another console to learn, another set of infrastructure to manage and maintain. And for me, really, the most important reason, or the most expensive reason, I guess, to go for a single monitoring solution is really this part here, around the time to resolution. Having multiple monitoring solutions means that they often have tunnel vision, especially when we're dealing with virtualization. So if we think about it, we have an agent perhaps that's looking just inside the guest and the applications in the guest. And then we have something that's monitoring at the hypervisor layer that's looking just at the hypervisor. And so we get that sort of, you know, distinction, silos of monitoring. And it means that it can be hard and expensive to sort of correlate these things together and bring them into, you know, bring them into one place. So the cost to the business for that sort of resolution can be high. And for the monitoring teams that are focused on, you know, doing that level of monitoring, and the cost can be even higher, right? So let's take a look at the high-level sort of anatomy of a monitoring solution, just to do a bit of scene setting, and then we'll sort of go next layer down. So for me, the most important part of this is really what's down at the bottom here, what needs to be monitored. So by this, I'm referring to, obviously, the infrastructure, the applications that need to be monitored, but it really is related to the sort of metrics and thresholds and the information that is meaningful to you guys as operators and as an organization. Of course, that information has to be understood somewhere, and so I've sort of categorized that into what I call an application layer. So, you know, this is where normalization happens. It's usually the first point of contact where monitoring data lands. And often it's also the place that is responsible for agent configuration and threshold configuration and that sort of stuff where it's appropriate. Of course, all that monitored information has to go somewhere. So there's a repository layer. I've referred to it here as a database layer. But that should maintain not only short-term information, but also long-term information so that we can do longitudinal analysis over time and you know, be able to step back in time to try and figure out, you know, why my servers blow up every Monday, or, you know, what happened sort of 3 weeks ago or a year ago, whatever. But for me, the most important part is really the top part, the presentation layer. So this is where the operator gets the alerts, gets the notifications, gets the emails, gets the SMS texts, sees it on the big screen inside the, you know, SharePoint or however that information is being exposed to the operator. Because that is where the operator gets the understanding of what's actually going on down at this layer. So if we think about this in terms of System Center Operations Manager, you guys have probably already made the connections, right? So we have the Ops Manager database and the data warehouse at the repository layer where we store alert data, performance data, and then use the data warehouse for that long-term analysis. The application layer is where we would have you know, the management server to do normalization, to help us with configuration, and I would also include Ops Manager agents at that layer, because although they get deployed down to the infrastructure layer, really they're agents of Ops Manager, and so belong inside that application layer. And of course, at the presentation layer, Ops Manager provides a wide variety of ways to actually consume this information. So subscription channels, notification channels, the monitoring console, obviously, web monitoring console, SharePoint, Visio, you know, however you're farming that information out. And really the key thing about these, though, and the thing that sort of sits across everything, really, are the management packs. I mean, in essence, when it comes to monitoring, Ops Manager is really a big dummy, right? And it's the management packs that allow us to give it an education. I kind of think of it a little bit like The Matrix. Some of you may be familiar with a movie a few years ago called The Matrix. Of course, we've heard of The Matrix. Get on with it. But it's a bit like The Matrix, you know, where you get that sort of chung thing in the back of your head and suddenly, you know, sort of monitoring kung fu, right? So it's a little bit like that. We're able to inject that knowledge and experience into Ops Manager via management packs. So if we sort of think about how we do VMware monitoring, and I'm not going to sort of pick on any particular vendor, but, you know, we could take vCenter, I guess, as an example. It's not really a monitoring solution. It's a management solution, tool, rather. But, you know, we can see the sort of duplication there. I mean, there's another database that maintains that sort of information. There's another application layer that probably understands the information in a slightly different way to the application layer in our primary monitoring system. And of course, there's another presentation layer, a different console, a different layout, a different way of interpreting that information. Now, sure, many solutions can lob alerts or events from here over to here. But invariably, all that really does is it says, okay, there's an alert over here. Now come and look over here. And you've still got to apply sort of all the skills and experience and knowledge both here and over here. So the sort of proposition, I guess, is, you know, why not just extend Operations Manager, try and consolidate as much as you can inside Operations Manager, and have a single pane of glass that gives you a broad but unified horizon over the over the entire sort of environment, both VMware and sort of Microsoft native. And that's really where the Veeam Management Pack for VMware comes in. So we have no additional database layer. We use the Ops Manager database. No additional database for long-term reporting. We use the Ops Manager data warehouse. No additional application layer. We use a management server for configuration, and we actually use existing Ops Manager agents, as you'll see in a wee minute or two, to go off and connect to the VMware environment and pull monitored information back. And critically, we have just that single presentation layer. So everything is consolidated within the monitoring console, all the subscriptions, the reporting, everything is all exactly as it is with Ops Manager. So it just brings that VMware monitoring under one roof. Okay, so what do you get, right? What can you monitor? I mean, is it everything? Is it like vCenter? I mean, you know, what do you get? So let me point out a couple of highlights. I mean, essentially what we're able to monitor from VMware is everything, right? We use the same mechanism for monitoring VMware that VMware do, so you can expect the information that comes out from that layer to be equivalent. So really everything from hardware right the way through to, you know, vCenter and to clusters and hosts that I have defined inside my VMware infrastructure. And how do we expose that inside Ops Manager? Well, with everything, with dashboards, with reporting, and the stuff that I'm going to show you in just about a minute or two. In terms of what we're actually able to monitor, the list is pretty long, but I've highlighted just a couple. It's really a tiny subset of what we can do. There's a couple of highlights in here. Snapshot age is one of my personal favorites. If anything is going to kill your VMware data stores, it's going to be that snapshot that someone's created. And then, well, okay, I created that 3 weeks ago, and, well, should I delete it? Maybe I won't delete it. Maybe I'll hang on to it. Maybe I'll do another one, and then maybe that'll get 6 months old, and then I'll kill my data stores, right? So the ability to sort of alert and trend on snapshot age is pretty useful. We also support what we call advanced metrics. So these are metrics that don't exist in nature. In other words, VMware do not provide these metrics for monitoring. And what Veeam is essentially able to do is to take a variety of metrics that we can get from the VMware layer, consolidate them, understand them, massage them a wee bit, I suppose you could say, and then present them inside the Ops Manager console. So things like memory pressure, to help identify memory overcommitment for a particular host, things like disk IOPS. We're able to take a number of different disk metrics, and we're able to pull that out and display that inside the Ops Manager console, let you alert on it, let you report on it over time. Of course, we track events from within vCenter as well. Note that we do not require vCenter to be able to integrate into the Ops Manager console. We will work with standalone hosts, so particularly for those amongst you that have, you know, ESX or ESXi free version sort of deployed out, DMZs or whatever it might be, we can actually bring that within Ops Manager as a monitoring framework as well. And of course, we can have multiple instances of vCenter all feeding back into the same place. And we include alerts for hardware too. So we basically use the hardware sensors feature from vSphere to expose that up into the Ops Manager console. The one cool thing that we do, yeah, it's my dad, that's not me. The one cool thing that we do, I guess a little bit of a history lesson, I mean, where this management pack came from was that back in the day there was a company called NWorks, and you'll still hear us being referred to as NWorks. They have been acquired by Veeam about 2 years ago. And what happened was VMware went to NWorks and said, hey, you guys write some pretty cool custom management packs. How do you fancy writing one for us to integrate with Ops Manager? And we said, yeah, okay, cool. So we did it. So a lot of the sort of knowledge and experience and thresholding and the sort of default thresholds that we apply within our management pack have actually come from VMware best practice. And of course, we've built on that with some smarts from Veeam and importantly, from feedback from our customers to kind of make that sort of monitoring more sensible. So we get this notion of the VMware guru in a box to help elevate frontline staff and reduce time to resolution. Okay, time for some demos. The first demo that I'm going to do is just essentially introduce you to the management pack, show you a couple of cool things inside there. Let me do that, and done. Fantastic. Okay, so you perhaps recognize this. It's the Ops Manager monitoring console. I'm just going to use this as kind of the basis for most of what I'm about to do. So a couple of things here. You'll note that I've deployed the Hyper-V management pack in here. I've got some other ones as well. And you'll note that I have the NWorks VMware management pack. So the first thing really to point out is that this is a sealed management pack, right? Everything that I'm going to show you here is out of the box. I didn't create any of this, with one exception, which is the service level tracking objects that I'm going to show you in a wee minute or two. So where do you start? Well, I guess the kind of first place to start for most of our customers is when we start looking at VMware state. So we've dashboarded a kind of broad state view that's able to show me the state for my clusters, my hosts, and the VMs that are running on those hosts. And it's a simple Ops Manager state view, sort of coded by health. We've then dashboarded out pretty much everything that we think is going to be useful and that our customers found useful. So for example, at cluster level and at a host level as well. So you can see we have health state for the hosts, but we also have alerts that have bubbled up from those hosts as well. So for example, I may look at a particular alert that I've received, you know, see those alert details. And as I mentioned, we actually include information or knowledge base or guru in a box that kind of helps with the, helps with that sort of, troubleshooting and fault finding, resolution, all that sort of stuff. Did I click that? Yeah, I did. There we go. And of course, that's extensible just in the same way that it is for any Ops Manager, any Ops Manager monitor. So, yep, we've dashboarded for resource pools, for vCenter, for VMs themselves. I'll actually come back and talk about that in a bit more detail in a moment or two. As I mentioned, we actually do the hardware monitoring via the hardware sensors element capability inside vSphere. So you can see, for example, that I have an alert for something. What's happened here? The ambient temperature on my system board has breached the threshold. So if I want to sort of, see if there's a general trend of, system board heating up. And of course, I might just use one of the other components inside Ops Manager to tell me. So for example, I might just open up a performance view for temperature, and I can see that, since I started my lab up, you can see how the temperature's been fluctuating over time. Of course, we dashboard for performance. So we've included, mostly based on customer feedback. Just let that refresh for a second. Mostly based on customer feedback, all the sort of useful stuff that people want to see inside these dashboards. So here we sort of have a consolidated view for CPU and memory and net and disk, the four sort of main SIM smash classes that we support. And one of the cool things about this, and hopefully what I'm sort of putting across, is that really all the management, everything is sort of inside Ops Manager. So as I said, we use a lot of our experience and a lot of VMware experience to be able to define thresholds out of the box so that as soon as you install it, you're getting something back that's useful without having to sort of go through 6 months of tuning before you actually figure out what's normal for the environment. But of course, those sort of default thresholds may not work for you. So if I need to modify them, it's as simple as I do for any monitor. All I need to do is set up an override, just as I would for any Ops Manager monitor, and then just define something that is more meaningful for my environment. So, bump that up to 43, because I'm sure that'll make all the difference. Fantastic. Oh, just let that commit. Off it goes. So for each of those kind of performance views and each of those performance dashboards that we've defined, we've also split all of that out depending upon what is of particular interest at that particular time inside the Ops Manager console. So when my commitment into the database there completes, I'll show you that. Don't you just love the demo gods? You stand there with your bolt of lightning. Sure, yes.
Is that Ops 2007?
I'm actually running this demo inside Ops Manager 2012, just because it's kind of cool. But yeah, maybe that's why it takes as long as it's still beta. But absolutely, we support Ops Manager 2007, 2007 R2, and actually we're still currently providing support for MOM 2005. But yeah, thanks. Good question. Okay, are we there? Is that? Yep, fantastic. There we go. Okay, so as I kind of split out into, just again show you one or two highlights inside the Ops Manager console here, as it sort of returns back to life, we're able to track and dashboard, for example, data store usage. So we're able to do this at a number of different levels. We're not just talking about sort of space and free space. We're actually talking about IOPS through the data stores, and I can even see IOPS down to the particular VM. One of the ways we have of tracking that. One of the ways we have of tracking that is through probably my most asked about metric. I have a top five. My most asked about metric, and that's around disk latency. So in a VMware environment, if your VMs are running slow, probably the first place you'll look is disk latency, right? So we have the ability to alert upon disk latency, of course, and also trend that over time and let you go back in time and sort of identify, if it could be times of day or when a particular load is placed against the VM or against the host, what the disk latency was there. So that's just an example of latency dashboard. Okay, so you can see that, again, we have similar views for resource pools and for virtual applications. And the one thing that I guess I just wanted to call out was this virtual machine node here. So you can see that we're providing state view and performance view for the virtual machine. Now, let's just think about this for a wee second here. What we're providing you here is the view of the virtual machine as VMware sees it, not as the virtual machine sees it. So how would you get the view as the virtual machine sees it? Well, you use the Ops Manager agent deployed inside the virtual machine, of course. So we're pulling back those performance metrics and alerting relate to the virtual machine and not to the operating system and applications that run inside it. So the native Ops Manager agent would be deployed onto that VM, and we would simply be consuming information from the VMware layer that sits underneath it. So here, for example, we can see vCPU rather than CPU, VRAM rather than VRAM, because that's how we're consuming that information. And I can use that as the basis, to open up performance views and alert views and all the usual sort of Ops Manager stuff that I know and love. Now, one of the other interesting things that we're able to do inside here is for those looking to get that consolidated experience, is we've actually included some pretty stock tasks for helping manage the VMware environment as well. So, not only can I sort of use this as the launching pad to start my troubleshooting, but I may also, if there's an alert that I know I need to shut down the VM or I need to roll snapshots together or I need to do, something along those lines, simple VMware management tasks, then we can just kick it off from within the Ops Manager console here. For SCVMM 2008, for Ops Manager 2007, we actually provide a Pro Pack, a Performance Resource Optimization Pack, so that I can use the monitored metrics that are coming up through the vManagement pack for VMware and kick off actions inside SCVMM 2008 to do things like vMotion or whatever it might be. Of course, in SCVMM 2012, we don't need them because SCVMM 2012 does a pretty good job of looking after VMware in its own right. Okay, and again, as I mentioned, we're kind of splitting all of this stuff out. So I may look, at a particular sort of counter like Disk IOPS or Total Disk IOPS and sort of use that for, performance trending. Okay, so in terms of what's sort of inside the tree node in the management pack, that gives you a little flavor. There's a couple of things I just want to drill into here, just because they're kind of cool. This is the first one. Some of you have come by the stand, and I usually put this up on the stand, and everyone walks by, and it's one of those like, ooh, that's pretty cool, how did you do that? So what we essentially have the ability to do is when we're doing discovery of the VMware environment, we look at all the interconnectedness between all the components, right? We build that into an XML file. We then look at the VMs that are actually running on those VMware hosts more often than not, they're Windows VMs. If that Windows VM has the Ops Manager agent deployed, and actually also has VMware tools deployed, then we can actually hook the health roll-ups from the native Windows monitoring onto the VM and have an absolute sort of end-to-end from the application layer for apps that are running inside the guest VM right the way through the whole VMware stack up to the sort of cluster layer. So if I sort of fit that out to space, you'll get a bit of an idea. Let me just minimize this one, try and make it a bit less of an eye chart for you. So I can use really cool features, and by far this is my favorite feature in Ops Manager. You've maybe used it before, which is problem path resolution. So I can just click problem path, and this will sort of drill down through, you know, from the cluster level right down to the application that's running inside the VM and show me where issues are. And when I need to do some resolution for that or figure out exactly what the issue is, then of course all I need to do is open up Health Explorer or Alert View for that particular node that is showing the error condition. It's pretty cool.
Does that put the actual
ASX host
into maintenance mode?
No, it doesn't. So what? It's Ops Manager maintenance mode that we're referring to here, but we do have customers that actually, because the sort of notion of maintenance mode in VMware is quite different from what it is in Ops Manager, but we do have customers that have actually tied the two together. So if that's desirable, we can talk about it afterwards. Okay, so just give you another example here. If I just kind of filter down to sort of warning state, you know, I may come in and take a look at you know, my storage, my data stores in this particular case. So I can see I have one data store that's in a warning state. And why is it in a warning state? Because it looks like it's low in free disk space. So again, with the knowledge base, we're including the causes, and most importantly, from my point of view, the resolution. And we can also see how that's been fluctuating over time. And we do that really for everything that we monitor. So, you know, if I have a particular warning state for a hardware sensor, like temperature we saw earlier on, or for CPU, then, you know, I can identify that there. One of the things, another sort of great feature, this again, this is all just native Ops Manager, but I can then take that view, so essentially get that sort of end-to-end view. And if I mentioned earlier on that we can do health roll-ups from the VM and include them in there. So if I just sort of show you where that goes. So for example, here you can see VMs that are on that particular host that's part of that particular cluster. And if I look at the monitored metrics from here, you can see that I have this sort of Windows node, Windows looking node, and this is where the health roll-ups for the native Ops Manager agent would roll up to. So if I'm, you know, I've done troubleshooting, I want to document it, I want to show people how I did it, or even just want to create a sort of cool picture of my environment, I can just take, you know, explode that view and then, you know, drop it out to Visio. Drop it out to a wee picture if I so desire. You know, stick it on the fridge above the kids' pictures. That's kind of what I was thinking. Okay, one other quick thing I just want to sort of highlight for you. Again, just because I think it's a really neat feature of Ops Manager 2012. You can do this in 2007 using the sort of SharePoint integration. But what this gives us the ability to do is, or what we can do is define service level tracking objects inside Ops Manager. And we can define those tracking objects for VMware objects in the same way that we can for native Windows objects and bring all of that into one place. So if we have a wee look at the dashboard that that I've created here, or that's created here, actually this is the out-of-the-box one, you can see that I'm monitoring Hyper-V hosts and my guests that are running on Hyper-V. And I'm also running monitoring my VMware guests. So you can see that from an uptime performance, I'm, you know, pretty much hitting 99% in terms of availability, but in terms of performance, you know, it's been sort of bouncing around a little bit, like those little green bouncy balls we've been giving out. And I can do that for, you know, any sort of, you know, given node, as long as we're able to monitor that. So there's my data store availability that seems to have dropped off a cliff. So I'm missing that service level objective, and I'm getting that traffic light system going red, telling me, aye, aye, this is probably something that you should really be taking a look at. Cool. So let me just flip back over and kind of talk a little bit about how we got there and how we get that stuff inside the Ops Manager console. So, topology view. Reporting, actually. Let me show you that very quickly. If you've ever done a report inside Ops Manager, you'll have seen this before, but I guess what is kind of cool is that, I guess what's kind of cool is that, we've done a lot of that hard work for you. So out of the box with the management pack, along with the knowledge base and everything else, we include a bunch of canned reports. Now remember, this data is just going into the Ops Manager data warehouse. So if you want to customize that, munge reports together, Mick's going to talk a little bit about that, then you do it. At the end of the day, it's just Ops Manager. So let my demo come back to me. As the knowledge base for VMware. So the management pack is updated. Obviously, whenever sort of VMware go through a sort of release cycle, then we follow pretty closely to that, actually, same as we do with Ops Manager. So it's kind of cool that vSphere 5 and Ops Manager 2012 are coming out at roughly the same time. It's easy for our dev boys. So our knowledge base gets updated inside that cycle. Yep, okay, so right now, you do download the latest management pack, but actually we're changing that with the upcoming release of the management pack that's supporting vSphere in 2012, so you'll be able to apply it like a hotfix, and it'll just include all the latest knowledge. Pretty cool. Okay, let me, show you one or two of the sort of canned reports. So, again, with just a sort of range of pre-built reports inside there, and, running these is just like running any other Ops Manager report. I simply open up the reporting. In this case, I'm looking at data store usage and then specify the relevant node and metrics that I want to track in terms of data store usage. Okay. I'll sort of let that tick over, and if we come back to it, we come back to it. Okay, but how do we get there? Let's have a chat about a couple of deployment considerations. So hopefully what I'm kind of putting across is that it's just SCOM, right? It's just Ops Manager. How do we get the information inside there? Well, there's a number of ways to consume information from VMware. I mean, there's SNMP and there's syslog, Shudder, and a number of other ways. But by far the easiest, by far the most scalable is via the web service, the vSphere API. And so that is the mechanism that we use to interrogate VMware environment, be it a host level or a vCenter level, and we pull information back from there. It's secure, and it's my favorite, it's easy to configure. So all we need is the ability to connect to the host or to vCenter server over port 443 by default, and then pull the information back from there. And it gives us a pretty rich data source. Again, it's the sort of basis for the monitoring that VMware do as well. So if we imagine I've got my ops, my management server over on this side, all the sort of infrastructure for that. I've got my VMware stuff over on this side. And essentially what we do is we have a thin layer of software that sits on top of an existing Ops Manager agent. That manages, effectively proxies the connection from this collector component down via the vSphere API to the VMware infrastructure. Once we've collected that information, we then inject it into the Ops Manager agent. And from that point forward, all the traffic flow, all the communication, how information is committed into the database, into the data warehouse, all that stuff is just Ops Manager. All we're doing is lifting and dropping it into the Ops Manager agent. Now, we actually do inflate the Ops Manager agent because you can imagine the Ops Manager agent is built to consume metrics and events from one system. So we actually inflate it so that it can take data from multiple systems and handle that sort of load from potentially hundreds or thousands of VMs and hosts, etc., that we're monitoring. The other cool thing that we can do to help with that scalability, because obviously there's a tipping point there where the agent needs help. So as the VMware environment grows, I can actually scale out. So all I need to do is take that stateless layer of code, put it on other Ops Manager agents, And we actually provide do automatic load balancing, and you can manage that as well, but load balancing between different collector systems that are consuming that information from the vSphere API. So note that nothing is deployed onto the VMs, onto the hosts, onto vCenter, although generally we'd recommend you put the Ops Manager agent on there and on the VMs in any case. And there's no sort of agent. We're only using the Ops Manager agent. Okay, the fact that we're kind of scaling that out, and of course the importance of the monitoring system is critical, but the fact that we have the ability to have multiple collector systems means that we can make it fault tolerant as well. So imagine I've got my management server up at the top here. You know, I'm happily pulling information up from the VMware layer. You know, this guy goes bye-bye, and what we'll do is automatically load balance over onto the other available systems, and we actually let you organize that load balancing based on, you know, however you want, geography or what makes sense, so that you're failing over a local connection and not over a WAN connection.
Yeah, how many VMware hosts can you monitor with one server?
Great question. How many VM hosts or VMs can we monitor through a sort of single management server? It depends, but usually somewhere, if we think about it in terms of the VM information that's coming up, usually somewhere between 500 and 700 through a single management server, roughly. So to give you sort of an example, the largest environment that Veeam has using this kind of technology and using this sort of architecture that we've been talking about is about 22,000 VMs. It's about 5,500 hosts. So pretty significant. No, I'm not telling you this. Okay, now, because it's all just native Ops Manager traffic, it means that sort of advanced scenarios are really easy to implement because you just do it in exactly the same way as you do for native Ops Manager stuff. So, for example, you know, I sort of use the example here of a hosted environment where, you know, I've got a hoster, sort of cloud-based or private cloud-based, who has, kind of had to get the cloud in the conversation somewhere, right, who has management servers, wants to have a unified monitoring console to be able to pull information from all their customers into one place and have it siloed up using Ops Manager groups so they can do disparate reporting and monitoring, etc., but don't want to have infrastructure sort of scattered all over the place and then try and bring it together. So very simply, you know, the way that you normally do that with Ops Manager, of course, is implement, you know, gateways. These are discrete Active Directory forests, and then have the monitoring communication flow up probably over certificate-based authentication if these are discrete Active Directory forests up to the central point. And if we can zoom in here, we can see that, you know, it's for us, it's really just a case of me too. All we need to have is a collector or multiple collectors that are pulling that information up, passing it to the Ops Manager gateway, and then that's communicating it back to the central environment. Of course, our native Windows systems, VMs, physical servers, would just use the native Ops Manager agent. Sorry, was there a question? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The collector is absolutely supported on a VM. The implications are that you can take advantage of the benefits of it being a VM. So you can take advantage of, you know, high availability or however you're sort of protecting your VMs right now. So the implications are generally all good. And actually, in my experience, that tends to be how people deploy the collectors. Well, I actually, in sort of our case, it's really sort of not. And it's difficult for me to kind of, you know, absolutely quantify how heavy the workload would be because, of course, there are so many factors that impact that. But in our case, I mean, bear in mind, we're not putting anything on the VMs or on the hosts themselves. So the information that's coming up from the VMs and the hosts is information that would be coming up regardless of how it was being monitored. All we're doing is sort of consuming that. So where, you know, a potential, I guess what you, I guess maybe you're asking is, you know, where might a potential bottleneck be and how do I sort of account for that? And so really, from a sort of scalability standpoint, the bottleneck is really at Ops Manager and not at the sort of NWorks layer because it's how much data you can shove into the Ops Manager database at one go. Because we can implement multiple collectors and have them, you know, even multiple collectors connecting to a single super large cluster is supported. So, you know, we can easily sort of scale out to accommodate really any load that's going to be put through it. Okay, is that helpful? Thanks. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is introduce Mick Pell from Etsy Utilities. So rather than just me talk about how great it is, Mick's actually a Microsoft customer. He's a Veeam customer and has implemented VMware monitoring in his Ops Manager environment. So thanks, Mick.
Thanks, Charles. Okay. Well, I'm Mick Pell. I'm a service support engineer at Etsy Utilities. And today I'm just going to go through why we chose NWorks to be part of our monitoring solution. Now, bear with me. I'm a techie. I'm not a presenter, so this is all new to me. First off, who are Etsy Utilities? Well, we're the electricity distributor for South Australia. We deliver power to more than 800,000 customers, both residential and businesses. Our head office is in Adelaide, and we've got around 35 remote sites dotted around through South Australia. And we employ around 1,800 people. As far as our computing environment's concerned, we're a medium-sized business, so we've got over 400 Windows servers, of which 65% are virtualized using VMware. And those are hosted on 35 ESX servers. And we use IBM HS22 blades in H-class chassis. We've got two data centers. Our main live one is in Keswick, Central Adelaide. And that hosts the majority of our kit. But we have got a DR center around 10, 15 kilometers away for our disaster recovery purposes. Now, obviously, electricity supply needs to be on 24/7. So we need to support that from an IT point of view 24/7 as well. So if we look, about 18 months ago, I guess, we started looking at our previous monitoring solutions. And what we found was we didn't have one single view into what was actually happening in our environment. But we did have lots of separate, disparate solutions in place. So the network team would have their own monitoring solution, the Windows team theirs, DBAs theirs, and so on and so forth. But there was no link in between those systems. And with that, each area had its own idea of what was critical and how they should be alerted. So that often created confusion, especially with our help desk, or service desk, I should say. They had no view of these tools. So the first they generally knew of issues were end users calling up and saying they've got an issue with their application. Now, not having any tools or any troubleshooting, it was really hard for those guys to actually work out what was going on. And the worst thing about that was the users calling up could tell that they had no idea what was going on, so it presented a really poor image for our service desk. So it was also felt that we were always reacting and firefighting issues rather than any proactive monitoring. And another issue we had was a lack of historical information. So with capacity planning, it was really a case of sticking your finger in the air and hoping for the best. There was not the information that we really needed to be able to go forward with that. And then finally, management reporting. A simple example, which I'll show later with the NWorks, was availability reports for our whole environment. To be able to provide the management with that information, we were gathering it from those separate solutions, and it was taking maybe 2 or 3 hours to produce one report. So why did we choose Operations Manager? Well, we looked at the existing monitoring solutions we had in place, and we looked at several others out there. And what we really found was the existing solutions were pretty good, and a lot of time and effort had been put into them, but they were concentrating, as Charles said, the tunnel vision. They were just concentrating on their one particular area. So what we decided was, well, we want something to manage those managers. And we had a, or we've got the Microsoft Enterprise Agreement, so it actually meant that we were licensed already to use SCOM. So it was a bit of a no-brainer to run a proof of concept and to put that in. So that's what we did. We ran the proof of concept and soon realized, yep, for Windows monitoring, it's definitely best of breed. It gave us the holistic view of the environment and the single interface, which was the most important thing. And straight away, our service desk could see what was happening in the environment. From one single pane of glass, they could drill down and work out what was going wrong and what was working well. It also meant that we could put in common alerting across the board. So the alerts that would be going out to the teams via email, SMS, and using our screens in the operations center, they were all the same. It also meant that we could look at specific applications using the, I'm sure you know, the distributed applications within SCOM. It meant that we could actually troubleshoot those properly as well, with the end goal of improving service availability. What we did realize, though, was monitoring the virtual environment using SCOM is a bit of a nightmare. I don't know how many people have tried it, but we even went down the route of looking at producing our own management packs using SNMP and WIMI, but it was just a headache, too much hard work. So we looked at, or started to look at third-party solutions, VMenWorks being one of them. What we found was most other solutions had their own database, their own console, and everything was all separate apart from the final alert, which would then be fed into SCOM. Now, it didn't really, when we tried the others, when we looked at these solutions, it really didn't come across as one single solution. We would have had to have put in extra training, extra effort, extra servers. So I was really pleased when we contacted Veeam and started looking at their NWorks product. And we found that it integrates seamlessly into SCOM. And more importantly, it, as Charles said earlier, it uses the vCenter database and vCenter system and uses the SCOM database. So there's no real overhead additional to what you really have got with SCOM already. The best thing about it, it looks and feels the same as SCOM. So if you're used to using SCOM, you know exactly where to start looking with the NWorks management pack. So all of your events, your alerts, your overrides, everything is bubbled up, as you saw earlier with the demo. The other thing, a quick install. We put this in into our live environment after the proof of concept in under 30 minutes. It really is that quick. Veeam provide a sizing tool as well, so you get the right amount of collectors installed. And as Charles says, they do the load balancing as well, automatic, or you can tweak that if you wish. So really, it's just a simple management pack. That's all I see it as, and it works well. So this is our monitoring solution as it stands today. Yes, we have got separate other systems still feeding into SCOM, and that was because of the time and effort, and they were best of breed. So you can see we've got the Orion SolarWinds product monitoring our network. But having seen SCOM 2012 in the demos over the last couple of days, I'm pretty impressed with what that can do network-wise. So that may well go next year. Then we've got IBM Director managing our hardware. I'll say all of our hardware's IBM. Then top right is the Veeam NWorks connector, feeding directly into SCOM. And we've got Oracle Enterprise Manager for managing our databases. And then finally, we're looking at a specific SAP connector at the moment to manage our SAP environment. And that all feeds back into SCOM, and you've got that single pane of glass that everyone can see. I thought I'd just give you a couple of quick case examples of the way we've seen NWorks over the last few months since we've gone live. This one, fairly simple. It's a HBA issue. Our ESX environment is hosted in a IBM H-class or in several H-class chassis with HBA connections back to our storage. So first off, an event happens. An alert's generated to the console and to SMS and to email. Depends how you've got your notifications set up. But this is the view of the alert. You can see that it's critical and it's affecting HBO3 talking to LUN2 there and several instances. I actually cut the screenshot off a bit, but that's affecting, I think it was 7 ESX hosts all at once. You see a little bit more detail down the bottom. ESX 11, lost disk connectivity, and it gives you the path. So at that point, as Charles showed you the topology earlier, that was displayed on one of our screens in the operations center. And clicking the problem path, you can find straight away what's affected and what the actual issue is. Delving in a little bit deeper, you'd run Health Explorer like you would with any other SCOM issue. And you can find on that particular case that connectivity to that LUN, there was an issue, but we can see there's redundancy on there, so it's not actually affecting live VMs. The great thing, I think, is the inbuilt knowledge. Obviously, you've got different tiers of support. The people that can view the screens, you can actually configure it through role-base to show who can see what screens. And then they can click on, if they've got access to Health Explorer, they can click on the inbuilt knowledge and just get a little bit more education. And the Veeam content is pretty good. It's helped us a couple of times in a few issues that we've had. The second one, reporting. I mentioned at the start that we had a real issue producing management reports, especially on availability. The best thing about the Veeam product is that now we can utilize all of those Veeam objects in any report. So Charles showed you the reports that Veeam produced themselves, but you can use them in all of the existing reports as well. So this one's just the generic Microsoft out-of-the-box availability report. But what you can see here straight away is we've got Windows computers and ESX servers on that report. Now, we've actually, rather than taking 3 or 4 hours manually to produce these reports now, we schedule it once a month to happen on the first of the month and emailed directly to to the management group. And that information, we don't have to do anything extra then. Okay. In summary, NWorks has given us the single view of the environment in SCOM. It's a real simple install. We've got the inbuilt knowledge, which has led to faster resolution time and making us much more proactive. And with that, the end result of that is improved service availability. And finally, rather than just being seen as a cost, we're now seen as a strategic asset, easy for me to say, to the business. So thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks, Mick. Okay, thanks very much, Mick. So, indulge me for just a moment or two. Have any of you seen, like, you know, the movies Captain America or Thor or the Hulk, you know, the new sort of breed of Marvel movies? You know how they have that little sort of, you know, 2 minutes at the end, which is the kind of what's next thing? I'm just going to do that for just a little bit, something of what Fred mentioned about what Veeam are doing in terms of, you know, roadmap capability. And really the theme behind that is around our unity and business continuity. Many of you will know Veeam or have heard of Veeam because of our award-winning tools around VMware backup and recovery. It's kind of what we're famous for. Probably accounts for most of it. In fact, it doesn't probably. It definitely accounts for most of our revenue. And if you are a Veeam customer, then you'll know that that's all coming to Hyper-V as well. So we're including backup and replication for Hyper-V in Veeam Backup and Replication 6, which is due out before the end of this year. So I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek. You are, unless you were in New Zealand last week, the first audience in the Southern Hemisphere that will have seen any of this stuff. And I'm going to do one very quick sort of pre-alpha code demo. So I appreciate I'm standing between you guys and lunch, so I'm going to be quick, don't worry. So in terms of the capability that we're including for Hyper-V, there's really three main areas. The first of which is that it is an image-based backup and replication. So in other words, what we're backing up is the whole VM and configurations. Now, we can split out particular VHDs, but our focus really is on the whole VM. What that essentially means is that we're able to do that backup without any agents inside the VMs. In fact, we can do it without any agents on the host, which is pretty cool as well. So it's an absolutely agentless solution, just like we have for VMware right now. And that is true for both backup and for replication. I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing with change block tracking. For those of you that are familiar with VMware, there's probably a few of you, because maybe that's why you came here today, you'll know that change block tracking is this kind of pretty cool feature in VMware. And basically what we've done is we've written a change block tracking driver for Hyper-V. Okay, now half of you are going, wow, that's cool, and the other half are going, I have no idea what the heck that is. I'll explain it in a second. And what that allows us to do is dedupe and compression. I'll talk through that. So the idea is that Veeam are going to provide a single console for both VMware and Hyper-V backups in the same place. So really sort of supporting Microsoft's message of the hypervisor really just being a commodity. The cool thing about the licensing is that all our tools license per socket, and you can just swap the licensing over. So you get 10 VMware hosts today, you know, in two sockets each, 20 licenses. You deprovision a couple of them and introduce Hyper-V hosts. Well, licensing is exactly the same. One console, one interface. Fred asked me to say that. So we're also including fail-level recovery and, importantly, from a replication standpoint, failover to previous restore points. So we're going to replicate from here over to here and then let you step backwards in time in the event that what you replicated from here to here was actually a pile of crap over here. And of course, the whole idea with replication is you get an exact copy. But we're going to let you step back in time in the event that, you know, that was what had caused the outage in the first place. The other thing that we're doing, and this is what I'm going to run through a demo of in just 1 second, is fail back. So imagine that I have my production VMs running on a Hyper-V host. I have my replica VMs running, you know, being replicated over to another Hyper-V host. And then this dies, so I do my failover. We actually do automatic re-IP for the failover as well. So I do my failover. My users are using the VMs that are running in the DR side, and everything's kind of hunky-dory, and that goes on for a couple hours or a couple of days. And then I put out the fires on the production side, and those VMs come back. So now what I've got is this 2 days in front of this, right? Our software is smart enough to figure out what the difference is, pick up only the differences, replicate them back over to production, roll them back into the production VMs, boom, and then you're away. It may or may not make that sound effect, but that's the idea, right? We also allow restoration from a backup perspective to any Hyper-V host, so that's pretty cool as well. Now, I mentioned change block tracking a little bit earlier on. So for those of you who aren't aware, essentially what change block tracking does is that when I make a change to a VM, I write it into a Wii map. Maybe we or otherwise, but I write it into a map. So software like ours can come along, and rather than have to look through the VM to figure out the blocks that have actually changed when we're doing an incremental backup, we're actually able to not bother looking through the VM, just look at the map, and then pick up just the blocks we need. What does that mean? It means it's like super fast. A lot faster for backup, a lot faster for replication. The other thing that we're able to provide with that is the ability to pick up not only the changed blocks, but also only the unique blocks. So we're doing an incremental backup, a sort of delta backup, differential backup, and we're able to lift up only the blocks that we don't already have. And change block tracking is the mechanism we use to identify the blocks that are the same. The net result of that, really, is twofold. First of all, you get pretty impressive storage savings. For our customers that are using this technology against their VMware VMs right now, they're seeing about a 90% saving on average. The official Veeam line is about 70 to 80, but every time I say 70 to 80, someone who's an existing customer says, no way, we're getting like 95, 96. So I've kind of adjusted that a little bit, yeah, awesome. So the other sort of cool advantage of that is that when we're doing a DR scenario and I'm replicating from A to B, pulling that information across the network, because we're doing the dedupe at the read level, we're not bringing it over and then staging it and then deduping it, we're doing it at the read level. What that means is that the amount of network traffic we actually have to pull across the wire is reduced as well, because we're deduping at that layer. So it means that replication is faster across slow network links. That's pretty awesome. And it's all out of the box. There's no components. We've been backup and replication. Everything is, you know, just out of the box. We don't sort of charge you extra for dedupe or extra for compression or extra for file recovery or extra for failover. It's all just one cost. All right. Okay, so here it is. I am going to show you on a Hyper-V host, he says. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to show you in a video. So I forgot where I was for a second there. So again, this is I'm sure the first time you'll have seen this, because this was all very hush-hush. So what we're looking at here is the Veeam Backup and Replication Console. At the moment, I've only got Hyper-V inside here. There's no VMware inside here, but everything sits inside one console. Those of you who have used this tool will have seen that before. So I have my replica. So there's my replica, KeyVM01. And what I'm going to do is just instigate a failover. So I can go back to selected restore points to do that failover. I can write a wee story about it as well. Cool. Okay, now the video's been accelerated a wee bit. It is a video. That took 21 seconds. Okay, so I'm going to go into Hyper-V Manager right now, and there we can see the original, I'm going to stop walking over there. There you can see the original VM, which I've now powered off, and the replica, which is this wee fella here, is now running. So I'm just going to log into the replica. And I'm going to make a change. So I'm just going to create a file. And I'll just make sure that's not empty. So remember, this is essentially where we're running in the DR site. So my users might be using this as live data, essentially. Okay, cool, done. All right, so now I'm coming back into the Veeam console, and I just want to do a fail back. So what you'll note here is I've got a couple of options, and the one that I've selected is to synchronize the content of the specified VM. So do that operation that I mentioned in my little preamble there. Some options there around still pre-alpha, some options there around metadata. Again, I'm going to write a wee story about it. Always good to comment these things. And off it goes. So the replica's been powered off. We do some really interesting and clever stuff with snapshotting here, which is how it all works. I can't really go into that in too much detail, but before the end of the year, you'll get more exposure to that. So they were synchronizing the differences over. So only the delta was replicated over, remember? And there's my failback completed successfully. So if we sort of look through the sort of timeline here, I mean, that was really minutes. When we've been doing these sessions with our dev guys, we've basically been sitting there watching them while they're talking to us do failover, failback, failover, failback, failover, and it really is that kind of time frame. It's incredibly impressive.
How does the re-IP person work?
Can we talk about that offline? If you come down to the sand, we'll have a little chat about it. So here's the original VM running again. Powered that up. And I'm going to log on. And lo and behold, there's my file. Okay, so that's either stunned silence or you're just waiting for the rapturous applause and cheering, right? That's pretty cool, right? I mean, delta failover for Hyper-V replications, that's pretty cool. Okay, so the question then is, I know you've probably been to a lot of the sessions around Data Protection Manager, System Center Data Protection Manager. So what does that mean for Data Protection Manager? Or what does Data Protection Manager mean for us? We really see the two solutions as being complementary. DPM would still be responsible, and perhaps for backing up the VHDs, but certainly for the content of those VHDs, so for application level backup and restore. And we can also daisy chain Veeam backup and replication jobs and have them be taken somewhere else with DPM. Now, if I have a mixed hypervisor environment where I have, you know, a mix of ESX and a mix of Hyper-V, and I'm sort of pulling it through, you know, backing it up with you know, a single Veeam instance, and then having those backup files being committed onto disk, if I'm using some sort of second-tier archiving, so maybe going off to, you know, tape or cheaper disk, then, of course, DPM sits beautifully sort of inside that architecture in terms of copying that data off onto that other disk. Okay, guys. So that kind of rounds up what I really wanted to talk about today. So just to summarize, you know, we've looked at the sort of unity of monitoring. We've looked at how Veeam and Microsoft come together to provide unity of monitoring within System Center Operations Manager. It makes things easier, makes things faster. It's generally cheaper than standing up, in fact, generally, it's cheaper than standing up a whole other monitoring framework. And System Center generally provides that compelling platform to allow us you know, to be able to do that. And I've given you a little sneak peek into what's coming in the next release of our backup and replication software. So it just remains for me to say thank you very much for coming along today. If there are any sort of questions from the floor that I can answer without going into my NDA on backup and replication, then I will. Yep.
Is your backup product also integrated in SCOM?
It can be. So what I've done for customers that want to do monitoring within SCOM is sort of point them to how we would create an event view and an alert view in performance monitoring, but it's not something that we provide as a bundle. But absolutely, yeah, it can be.
Mm-hmm. How does it handle creating databases?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we'll do is we'll talk to the application level VSS writer that's running within the VM, and if there's no application level VSS writer, we'll quiesce the VM, and then from there sort of snapshot the VM and then take the backup from that. So we do that application level quiescence.
So it does go into the application.
Absolutely. Okay, but actually we still do not need to deploy agents onto it because of the way we're able to address the VM. Up via the host. Okay, cool. Any others? Okay.
Thank you, Director. As part of that, you've got replication going on, the inactive directory, you're replicating it as well. So, is there a certified procedure for restoring?
So bear in mind that we're replicating from a DR perspective rather than sort of replicating from a high availability perspective, which is really what Active Directory is about. So, I mean, there's a great session, I saw it in the agenda. I'm not allowed to go into any of the agenda meetings, but there's a great session on sort of Active Directory recovery from, you know, in a virtualized environment. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, in terms of the Active Directory database consistency, we look after that by using the VSS writer, and it works very well. We have many customers on using VMware currently that back up domain controllers and then use that as the restoration procedure. So, there are, you know, guidance from that sort of session and guidance from us can sort of help you come up with the strategy there. So, yeah, we can have a longer chat about it later on if you like.
The VSS writer, that will actually put it into the restore state correctly when it comes back, which it needs to be ADS done.
Yeah.
Because the issue in the other session was in that session as well.
Yep.
And if you're using the VSS, it tells AD that it's been backed up, so it knows to regenerate its IDs and all that stuff and start again.
Yep. Fantastic, thank you. Okay, guys, just one, I guess, last wee thing. We're still doing demos down at the booth. Please come and say hi. We're also giving away an Xbox at 20 past one today. So if you haven't already sort of put a form in the little goldfish bowl, where the big green stands, remember? Form in the goldfish bowl, Xbox at 20 past one. Fantastic, thanks very much.